welcome to the News Broom. It's been a while since I've done one of these, and I have guests now. I'm joined today by my good friends Kyle and Vinny. How are you two doing?
Having a great time. How about you?
I hurt everywhere. How about you, Vinny?
I'm doing okay. A little cold because my bedroom has weird heat stuff.
Oh, I know about that. Well, and you're in Minnesota now, so it's probably like negative 30. Jesus.
Yeah, it's like 33 out right now, and I don't know why the heat is not always on in this room, but...
My experience is it doesn't even matter. Like, I lived in an apartment in Minneapolis for like 4 years, and even with heat cranked, it did not make a difference in the winter, and it's only November. It's cold here in New York, too. It's like 30 degrees out. Hopefully Kyle is having a better time.
One can only hope.
But this isn't about the weather. This is an anime and manga and sometimes video game news podcast. But I figured we should introduce the two of you because you've never been on a show before. Vinny, what do you do on the internet?
So on the internet, I post about anime on Twitter, and I still do a podcast called the AGC Podcast with my friend Diego, where we talk about, at this point, kind of whatever we want. Usually it's become kind of movie heavy on like movie or TV review, but it's a way for us to keep up as friends, and we've let you into the room on that.
You also run the Anime Secret Santa. You took over after the Reverse Thieves did it for, what, at least a decade, I think, right?
Yeah, they did it for about a decade, and then I think when they wanted to take a hiatus, we asked if we could adopt it for a few years, and we don't know when that curse ends.
Well, you do good work, Kyle. You don't have a podcast that I'm aware of. Do you write? I know you're on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm definitely. I'm in the middle of school right now, so I'm kind of more low key in terms of my online presence. But I'm, I guess, predominantly a film guy, but I'm also into anime, and you know those two do overlap. And I occasionally, you know, go on and guest podcasts. Hooray!
Well, we've got a lot of news to talk about, and we're going to try to keep this to an hour because I have this habit where I make 3-hour podcasts, and it's not fun for anybody. So let's get into the news.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
So I made this secret website that I gave you two. We're going to start at the earliest story. So I don't know if you saw the go to older posts tab. I found a couple tweets that I thought were relevant just with all of the manga announcements and light novel announcements that came out of Anime NYC. I think it's worth noting that the people translating a lot of those don't always get paid super well. And it's a part of fandom that we don't talk about a lot. We always talk about like, oh, support the industry and this and that. But we forget to support our localization staff. And so whenever I see stories like this, I think they're worth mentioning. The first one is a tweet from somebody, Dobu_Dobu, where they're talking about the rates that this company that I'm fairly unfamiliar with, Comiky, and they were talking about how they pay a very low page rate. And that you only get a raise after you translate something like 800 pages. And that's not great. I think I looked through the thread. I think if you are like working nonstop, you might make $1,200 in a month, which is just not sustainable anywhere these days because of inflation.
Yeah, that's really hard to look at these rates. Unbelievable.
I don't know what a good rate is because I'm not familiar enough with that side of the industry, this seems to be universally not considered good.
Especially considering how like a highly specialized you need to be to translate Japanese. It's not an easy language. So, woof.
Yeah, well, and they all seem to do a per page rate, which to me sounds like a bad deal. Because, you know, I think this is specifically about translators, but when you talk about letterers and, like, touch-up artists, you know, you could have a page that takes 10 minutes, you could have a page that takes 3 hours, and you're going to get paid the same amount for both pages, which is just outrageous to me. I used to do sound work that would similarly burn me, where I would agree to a flat rate. It's like, well, it's really cool if all I have to do is a quick dialogue edit, but if I have to sound design everything, I'm actually making you know, significantly less. The other one is a company that I've never heard of called Majisuke.corp. And their deal was even worse. This was a person, Meru Meru Chan, and they were saying that this company, they also pay super, super poorly, but they pay you in, like, gift cards, essentially, like points, like Nintendo, you know, Wii shopping points.
Oh my God.
And I just, I don't.
You got to pay money. I'm sorry. We don't need a company town, any of that. Yikes.
Yeah, you get paid in script.
What'd you say?
You get paid in my GCI, this company's script or whatever at this point. Yeah, it's insane. I don't understand how. I guess we keep seeing all these digital companies popping up with manga and a lot of light novel stuff. And I wonder, because that rate, I mean, light novels have to be a higher rate.
I would hope so. It was, oh my God. I was talking to Evan Minto, and I forget his last name, the CEO of Atsuki, or Azuki. His name
isn't that Evan Minto?
Evan Minto is marketing. The CEO is a guy named Abbas. I think it might be Jaffrey, Abbas Jaffrey. But we were talking about how it's so much less common to see fan translations of light novels because it's just like, you know, you do a manga and it's like, okay, it's 20 pages, you know, it's whatever. But even a short light novel has got to be like 200, 300 pages. I'm rereading Haruhi, the first novel, right now, and it's like 250 pages long. I can't imagine just doing that for fun, you know, as a college student. Anyway, hopefully these things get better. I know that, especially since the pandemic, there's been a lot, people are a lot more conscious of labor rights and getting wages up, and I really hope to see that move into the anime industry, the anime, manga, and light novel industry, because it's just, you know, they're owned by giant companies now. Sony just bought Crunchyroll for like $1 billion. They can start paying people better. Moving on, do either of you watch One Piece?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I do.
So the thousandth episode just aired. I want to say, what was it, Saturday? I haven't kept up with One Piece in a long time, but I thought it was worth mentioning because this is a milestone that most anime will not make for one reason or another.
Right.
So did you watch I can't even say the word, thousandth episode? I saw that it was like, not like a compilation, but more like a celebration, like greatest moments thing. Is that correct?
I did not watch it myself, but I do know that it was a big deal. There was a lot of promotion. They even did a remake. They redrew in the new art style and with the current, I guess, designs of the characters as they are now, the original OP. And they, you know, it's like a nice homage, and they did a lot of things to build up to kind of go like, this is a big milestone. We really want to make people, you know, feel that like we've come on this long journey together. And I did hear from family members who have watched it, and I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm not personally a One Piece fan, but I think it's really cool. Just seeing how excited people got at Anime NYC, they had a screening of that episode, and the line to get in was like 500 people long. It was unbelievable.
One Piece is the best of what it does. So I'm very grateful that we're 1,000 episodes in and with more to come.
I'm going to watch the One Piece Netflix show. That'll be my sin.
I mean, after Cowboy Bebop, I don't know a single person who's looking forward to that, but you go and do your thing.
I'm not going to go in depth because I think Noel wants to do a podcast about it, but I watched all of Cowboy Bebop and I really liked it.
Interesting. I haven't seen it.
I can't wait for them to make Luffy say fuck. That's what I'll say. So there was, as I mentioned, there was a lot of announcements like manga, light novels, etc. coming out of Anime NYC. Two particular ones that caught my attention is more audiobook announcements. This is a thing that the light novel localization companies are starting to get more into. And it's interesting to me because I remember 10 years ago, like, tweeting Crispin Freeman, like, you should do an audiobook where you're Kyon for Haruhi. He's like, that's a cool idea, but I don't know if, you know, anybody is interested in doing that. And it came out of nowhere. It was like six or eight months ago. I want to say it was Yen Press that did the first one. They're just like, yo, we're doing audiobooks. We've got three of them. I believe it was Tanya, the Evil, Overlord, and Sword Art Online were their launch titles. And I think one of them, either one of them is out or one of them is about to come out, because I went to their audiobook panel and they played clips from all of them. And it's a really interesting idea, and I'm surprised it took as long as it did, where they're getting the voice actors from these shows to play their characters, but in the book. So, like, the Sword Art Online one is read by Bryce Papenbrook, I think is his name, who plays Kirito. And it's really cool. I don't know if I'm going to get them, because I don't know if I want to listen to 8 hours of Sword Art Online. But I think it's a really cool idea. And so they announced three more, Yen Press did, Spice and Wolf, So I'm a Spider, So What, and Rascal Doesn't Dream of a Bunny Girl, or whatever the title's called. And what's interesting about that is some of them don't have English dubs yet. And so they can't, their fallback has been like, well, we'll just get the original cast to come and read these books. What, there is no original cast now. And especially that's interesting because they don't have their original performance to pull from. So it'll be just its own thing. J Novel Club also announced their first audiobook, which is for the Slayers novels, and they got Lisa Ortiz to narrate those. Who I, Lena Inverse, I think, is the lead in Slayers. I've never seen Slayers. I'm a bad anime fan.
She was the CPM voice of Lena.
Oh, so there's multiple dubs of
So ADV had a separate cast from CPM when, you know, there was a back when everything had to have a split in two casts, because the movies have one cast and the TV shows the other cast.
Yeah, I'm still salty about Yu Yu Hakusho for similar reasons. I think that'll be really cool. That one I might check out. I'm interested in Slayers, but not enough to watch, what is it, a dozen versions of that show.
I think it's a smart move because, you know, they've had audio dramas in Japan for a while, which I think there's like a version they're more familiar and friendly with. But, mm-hmm. you know, we don't really do that since, you know, like television, or that's been dying off since television has become a thing. So I think this is like a smart way to for the U.S. and kind of this where we have the culture of audiobooks and anime, but kind of nothing in between, and to marry that. So. Yeah, I think this is a good idea.
I'm interested to learn about the production, because they put, like, the samples they played at Anime NYC had music. So did they like make an original score for this, or did they just do it for that clip? It's making audiobooks is a lot of work.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think also audiobooks have gotten a lot bigger in the past 15 or so years at this point.
Yeah, I think it must be because podcasts have been getting more popular. And so I wonder if it's just people are more open to listening to audio that isn't just music on their commute. And that's why it now seems to be like it's time to make these anime audiobooks.
I think it kind of timed in that, like, Audible had, you know, really brought, I don't want to say audiobooks back, but people listen to them now. People borrow them from the library now.
It's great. Hopefully they've come down in price. One of the reasons why I didn't stick with Audible was because it was one of those services where you had to pay more, and that just drove me nuts. It was like $15 a month, but then you had to pay for every book. It's like, what are we doing? So moving on, I'm not watching this show, but I thought it was worth bringing up. The anime 86, which is also based on a light novel, they had their 19th episode delayed by a week due to quote-unquote production issues. It doesn't go in detail in the article, but the fans in the Anime News Network forum were speculating that it's because the upcoming arc or upcoming enemy or whatever, I don't know what this show's about, but whatever's coming up next in the anime, they're speculating that that's a very difficult thing to animate, and so the staff just doesn't, they didn't have enough time to do it.
I'm surprised they didn't do the classic standby of do a recap episode, which is normally the Hail Mary of we need to put something out. So this, whatever it is, this is not like a typical issue.
I think they had, I saw people talking about a recap episode. So it's possible that they did that as a stopgap. But I also, part of this article said that a compilation episode got canceled. So I don't know what's going on. I know that we've been seeing things like this happen more frequently lately. It happened with, was it Wonder Egg or World Egg Priority? I think it was Wonder Egg Priority. That, like, they didn't even finish the show.
Oof.
They had a recap episode in the middle of like a 12 episode show, and then the last episode didn't complete the story. And then 6 months later, they did the real final episode. And even that, you think they've got 6 months, like it's going to be great. And like they advertise it as an hour long finale, and the first half was a recap. It was rough. So hopefully everybody on the 86 staff is doing okay, but not a good sign when you see stories like this. Another really, really terrible story. How familiar are you two with Ryan Kopf?
I know him, and I know he is a notable bad person.
Well, oh God, sorry.
Okay.
We'll use our words carefully. Allegedly, this con organizer has been, well, I guess I'm wording this weird. There's a lot of allegations of rape and sexual assault and things with minors. He tends to be lawsuit happy, and so that's why a lot of people are afraid to talk about it. But there are a handful of police reports that ANN specifically references. I know Anime Milwaukee, I think it was, in particular, banned him after he had to be escorted out of the convention by police due to allegations of sexual assault at like a room party. Anyway, he was in the news recently for, he has this website called My Otaku, which is an anime dating site, which in theory is a good idea. But in practice, it's, you know, with dating sites, you get too niche. And so what ends up happening is like, well, how many anime fans are in, I don't know, some small town in Iowa? So like this dating site's not going to be very useful. Well, so he inflated the numbers according to allegations by the what people are claiming is that if you went to any one of his conventions, by registering, it automatically made you a profile on his dating website. And so it made it look like there was tens and tens of thousands of members on this dating site, making people more likely to sign up. And he claims that this is not true and that it only makes you a profile if you sign up yourself or so. I don't know. It's a fucking mess. I'm hoping that there's some kind of class action lawsuit with this, but I'm not going to get, I don't expect it to happen. I hope it happens, because people were saying that there were minors that had profiles on this dating site because they just had profiles made when they went to his convention.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to take what he says in good faith with what is circling him. So,
yeah. Well, I also, in the, right under the news story, I added this great video that he made to try to prove that he was innocent. Now, obviously, this is a podcast. You can't see it, but you kind of don't need to. It's just him talking to himself. It's that type of YouTube video where he plays every character. And so he's having a conversation with himself in front of a TV. And
oh, hey, what's up? Ugh, don't talk to me. You're a pedophile. Wait, what? You're a pedophile. That's not true. I don't believe you. Okay, here's my rap sheet. You'll notice there's nothing on it. This isn't good enough. Look, man, I've never been arrested, never been questioned. I don't fuck kids! I don't care. How do you prove a negative? How do you prove that something's not true? That's like trying to prove that God exists. Who says God doesn't exist now? How do you prove something that... How do you prove it negative?
So, you know, super innocent guy. It's just one of the most bizarre videos I've ever seen. It reminds me of... do either of you watch Always Sunny?
I have. Oh, yes.
There's the episode where Frank buys like a kid's pageant, and he doesn't want people to think that there's anything nefarious, so he writes a song about how he doesn't touch kids. It's just like, all right, well, that's one way to make people think you do. Anyway. So this next one is really just so I can tell people to watch this show. Ranking of Kings, the English dub, dropped, I want to say 2 weeks ago. I finally checked this show out because, Lindsay Loveridge, the, I think executive editor is her title at Anime News Network. She did a panel and told the entire room. This wasn't even about Ranking of Kings. She just, in the middle of the ANN panels, like, you all have to watch the show. It's like the best show ever made. And so the dub's out now. Bryce, who is reading the Sword Art Online books, is in it. It is about a young prince who is both deaf and mute, and just his journey to become the next king. I've only watched 2 episodes because that's all that's out for the dub so far, but I think 8 or 9 episodes of the subtitled version are out on Funimation right now. Are either of you watching this one?
No, the first time I heard about it was from you, but honestly, those are some pretty good recommendations. It looks like I might check it out now.
I checked out the first episode on when it aired, and I want to get back to it. It has that style, and I think I described it as, you know, those European films that you might remember, like on a cheap tape that someone bought in the 90s. Because there's a like storybook effect on it.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't look like your modern anime. I like it a lot. What's funny is that the second episode, it does this like essentially like an entire arc of Berserk in like 10 minutes. That's a very vague way of explaining what happened. Just they go through a character's backstory, and it has similarities to Guts' backstory, but in a more child-friendly way. But they do it very quickly, whereas in Berserk, it was like more than one episode. Anyway, great show. Highly recommend. And the dub was really good. I was worried that because it's a deaf character, that the voice actor for that character would be too... gimmicky, like bordering on offensive maybe, but I think they do a good job. I forget their name. I know I mispronounced it in a news clip that I did because I'm a terrible person. It's like Fajardo. I want to say Emily Fajardo is her name. Anyway, did either of you watch the Attack on Titan political attack ad thing?
I did.
I've saved it just in case we ever need it as evidence.
Oh my God. I've not watched it because I just don't need that in my life, but I've been following the pushback of that. So you'll have to forgive me because I don't fully know what these words mean, but the person, Paul Gosar, I think is his name, got censured. Think that means he gets in trouble and like got some of his like job description. I honestly don't know what it means, but he there was some consequence to it. What was so interesting about that story is how people reacted when it was reported on Anime News Network, and the original article wasn't, I don't think it had, like, obviously there's going to be some agenda. It's impossible to write something completely objective in a scenario like this. But everyone's like, Anime News Network with their far left agenda and this and that. And it's like, if you read the article, they're just saying, here's a thing that happened. It happened. Here's that thing. And it's like, I don't know what to tell you guys.
In fact, I think it's a strange thing to throw at Anime News Network in particular, because their typical style is far more quote unquote objective than a lot of other, like surprisingly, like it's very dry. It's not the kind of thing that you're going to go through their news. Like as a, like it's not Kotaku or something, you know, or any of those other sites, which are in this realm. So, but you know, it's just the culture wars.
Yeah. Well, yeah, their news is fairly matter of fact by the book's reporting. It's their feature stuff is going to have a voice, and that's how it should be. It's you know, editorial content versus like news content. I couldn't find the video. I tried. John Oliver, I want to say the last week tonight, they did an anime parody of the courtroom. Goings on that was pretty great. I had like Goku and Sailor Moon in it.
You're watching C-SPANime. Somehow we've even made this boring. Up next, the anime censure vote of Paul Gosar.
Anime will now debate the censure of Paul Gosar. Oh! Sailor Moon has the floor.
In the name of the moon, even your family hates you.
Paul Gosar hangs lower than my Dragon Balls.
Oh! What about you, Marjorie Taylor Greene from Q Anime?
I think he's a good egg.
Yugi, oh my god! You also believe in Jewish space lasers.
Pikachu, you have the last word.
Pika Pika! Pika Pika! Pika!
Censure him!
Coming up next, Steve Bannon turns himself in.
Hey, just popping in for a quick correction. As I was editing, I realized that this clip was not from Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. It's actually from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I don't know which specific episode it's from, but the official YouTube uploaded the clip on November 18th, 2021. Resident Evil Village. Did either of you play that game? What is it, the 9th or the 8th?
Number 8.
I know you're a big video game guy, Kyle.
Yeah, I did not, but I watched Tone play it. He played through the whole thing, and he was telling me, like, we had constant conversations about it. And I'm really happy that it's doing so well, because it's unusual in that it's, like, a shorter game. You know, like, it goes against the grain of some current gaming trends, but I think everyone really dug it, and they, you know, forgave it its quote-unquote sins. And, yeah, happy for it.
How about you, Vinny?
I did not touch it, but I know it has the very tall woman in it. That's the best, yes. The most knowledge I have in this game.
Yeah, that they certainly knew exactly what they were doing with that. It's, you know, the first trailer came out and everybody latched onto her. I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's like Demescrew or something or another. But they used her in all the marketing, and like I think Best Buy had like a real height, actual size, like cutout of her, because she's like 10 feet tall. And then you play the game and she's in like the first 40 minutes. Like she dies immediately. It's very funny. The reason I bring up Resident Evil Village is that it won several video game awards. It won Game of the Year. Maggie Robertson, who plays the very tall vampire lady, won Best Performer. I think it also won Best Audio and Best Action Game. Action Adventure. I'm not 100% sure on that. I don't see it all listed in here. Oh, it won two Game of the Years. That's what it was. Ultimate Game of the Year and PlayStation Game of the Year. I don't know what Ultimate Game of the Year. Maybe that's cross-platform, like just everything. I don't watch the Video Game Awards, but the main reason is because I wanted to talk about how my friend recorded a lot of the dialogue for this and that it won Best Audio. So I'm very, very proud of her. I would play the game if you haven't and you were kind of interested in it. I played it on easy because I just do not care. It took me maybe like 8 hours. I think it'd be a really, really hard game to play in the normal difficulty, because even on easy, I was struggling to have enough ammo to fight some of these enemies. Great game. Anyway, so moving on, let me go back to our news feed. I clicked away from it for a second. Oh, the next thing is Final Fantasy. Nice. So this one is on here because you are like the biggest Final Fantasy Spirits Within fan in the world. Kyle, I'll let you take the floor on this one.
Yes, I'll make it quick. Mainly, it's kind of just a shocker that it's even making it to 4K at all, both because it infamously is one of the biggest, you know, movie flops of all time. And of course, this was made all digitally, and so I'm pretty sure these source files are, I would be shocked if they were as high as 1080p. so I'm pretty sure we're looking in the 720p area, so they had to do a lot of work. And from what I've heard, I've seen reviews of the, because it just came out, and it seems like it is having, like, it's a pretty good, you know, upscale, and the HDR is really helping with the blacks and everything. But I also wanted to say, I think it's really great that it's being brought to 4K, because it is a movie which is very, just like underseen. I think the, you know, like with a lot of movies with troubled productions or troubled box office returns, I think a lot of people dismiss it out of hand. And so I'm happy that it will not be, you know, stuck on the previous format, right? It is going to be, it's going to continue to be there. And so I hope a new audience can find it who maybe is not so aware of that history or just like finds it. And that, you know, this, I don't know, just like I'm so happy that like it's still going forward. It's the most unlikely movie to get a 4K release. And
yeah. I think Advent Children got one as well, so
it's also getting a second 4K release in Japan. They're doing a new remaster using some proprietary Sony upscale tech. So
good lord.
Yeah, so who knows? You know, the sky's the limit. All I'm saying is we're never going to see the director's cut of Spirits Within that it deserves. So I'm going to grab this 4K and run off like a bandit.
Is there a director's cut?
No, but God, I hope. It'll never happen, but like it's a movie where it needs a director's cut.
Now with more spirits. I saw it back when it came out. I didn't see it in theaters, but we rented it. And I don't remember very much about it. Do you know why it didn't do well? Did people just not, like, were we not ready for a CG adult movie? Or was the story bad? Well, you think it's good, but did people think the story was bad?
I want to clarify. I think it is a very mixed result, ultimately. I don't think the mix of, like, it's a very Japanese story, very much in the vein of what Sakaguchi likes to do. Very Japanese, and then the screenwriters were like kind of two not great American screenwriters, and their sensibilities don't always mesh. And then on top of that, they would each, so Sakaguchi did the original script, and then he had to have that translated into English, and then the scriptwriters took that and made their own drafts in English that were all like whatever they wanted. And then that had to be translated back into Japanese for him to okay it. Jesus. And then they translated that back. So like, even from that angle, it was kind of always doomed. And of course, they just had to build so much of the tech from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was having to bear the cost of all that R&D development. And so it's just really expensive. You could do the same movie today in real time for a fraction of the cost, and it would have made money. But back in 2001... it was a hard sell for that amount of money, and it forced them to make some compromises.
Was it you that told me that there's a theory that the people that were making it were kind of like low-key, actually just working on the next Final Fantasy engine and trying to sell it as a movie?
No, but you know what? That would be a smart way to do it. There's a lot of great, I mean, especially for 2001, if you compare this. But of course, like the difference is this is all pre-rendered, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a very different beast. But I mean, you can definitely see that Square's, you know, like their CG game has always been top notch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that this was, I mean, this is, their tech is used in animated movies and things to this day, or at least tools that started off being developed for. So it's a very influential movie, even if it isn't the greatest movie, but mm-hmm. I still have a lot of space in my heart for it. So
I need to rewatch it. Maybe I'll get the 4K version.
Pay it forward.
Yeah, we're not get like there's really not a lot of I mean it's arguably an anime. There's not a lot of anime 4K releases.
And yeah. And then a lot of it isn't properly subtitled with English. So
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So like Char's Counterattack for Gundam, that's a 4K disc. No English subtitles.
Oh, I was thinking Western releases, but yeah, that would also make it difficult. I know Robot Carnival is coming out. Which one?
Discotech is on 4 or 5 now, I think.
Yeah, I think I have. There's a few others. Yeah, the Castle of Cagliostro, Robot Carnival,
Space Pirate Cobra.
Yep, that Vinny mentioned that one. Okay. I thought Project Aiko was going to get a 4K release, maybe down the line. I know Justin was saying that there's a lot of limitations with how it handles, like some of the special features from Robot Carnival can't carry over to the 4K release. So maybe they're like, well, let's put out the Ultimate Edition and then, you know, maybe down the line do 4K. Certainly they're capable.
And I think it still limits how much also people will buy. Because, I mean, I don't have a 4K player myself, so I'm not going to put money into a disc yet on those things.
Yeah, it was a really silly investment on my part for someone that primarily watches anime. But I guess I also needed a Blu-ray player because the PlayStation 4 works, but it's super loud. Yeah. speaking of anime that would be cool if it got a 4K release, Tokyo Godfathers. This is an interesting story. So there is a potential for it to get a Christmas Eve screening in Japan, but it is contingent on very specifically 55 or more people buying tickets.
Wow, that's a low bar. I hope it makes it, because if not, I am very sad. 55. You think they could hack it, right?
Yeah, I wonder if that's just how many seats fit in the theater, or how many people fit in the theater.
Oh, so like it would need, it's almost like a Kickstarter for a theater of like, hey, we need to sell all of the seats or else it's not happening.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but yeah, it'd be really cool. I don't think I've ever seen any of Khan's stuff in the theater. I guess unless you count Inception and Black Swan. Oof. I need to rewatch.
I got to see Perfect Blue in a theater. They showed that, I think, a couple years ago. And it was he's a master, so of course it was lovely.
I really like that movie. I have, I think it's G Kids that put it out. That is a shakier movie than I remember. It is, I think there's like a stabilized version that came out later, but it is, oof, the camera shakes a lot, and it doesn't make sense because there's not a camera operator. Anyway. Tokyo Revengers. I really, really like that anime a lot. Me and Noel did 2 spoiler crazy podcasts on it. The manga is finally getting a print edition from Seven Seas. The timing of this is really funny because I went to a manga industry panel at Anime NYC and somebody asked, will Tokyo Revengers get a print version? And it wasn't a Seven Seas representative up there that I'm aware of. But he was like, well, you never know. Anything could happen. And I'm like, I wonder what does this guy know that I don't know? And then 2 days later, it got announced that it was coming to print. And something that is worth noting, I don't know if either of you watched the anime or have read the manga. There is a lot of manji symbols in that, which for those who don't know, it is the reverse of what later became the swastika. What is it? Shinto. It has a very specific meaning in Shinto. I don't know what that meaning is, but it plays a pretty integral role in the Tokyo Revengers manga because the gang, it's a delinquent manga. Their gang is called the Tokyo Manji Gang. And so their biker jackets or whatever have a giant manji on it. And people were worried, like, when this comes out, are they going to edit all of that out? Because, you know, not everybody knows, you know, that that's not like that, you know, Hitler stole that from Asian religion and just made it his own thing. And they're like, no, we're not going to edit this. We're just going to put a, hey, this isn't what you think it is, disclaimer in there, which is the right way to do it. The Crunchyroll release of the anime just edited around it a bunch, which sometimes made for some really awkward camera angles because they would like crop it in a way where you couldn't see it. Didn't always work.
Well, one, I think that it's, if you look in the picture, it's, I like that it's enough, it's stylized enough, but also, of course, the manji, it goes the other way, right?
Yes.
It runs counterclockwise, not clockwise.
That is correct.
Like, it looks different enough in this picture that, like, I wouldn't, it's not the same connotation, I think. I think it's enough that you kind of go like, oh, this is something different. And then, again, if they put that little disclaimer, I'm sure it won't show up the same in Germany, but in America... Sure. Probably get by.
Well, and I think
I'll see if they have it on the cover too.
Yeah.
The cover, I can see them not putting it on the cover, changing the images for the cover or something too.
That would be a smart move, but I feel like anybody reading Tokyo Revengers knows. Like, you know, like there's nobody, presumably, I guess somebody could just pick it up, but I feel like most people that read manga and watch anime are aware that that's not the swastika.
You have a lot of faith.
Yeah. I know, I think it got edited out of the Yu Yu Hakusho manga, but it's in the anime. And I know it played a role in Bleach as well, because Ichigo's sword at one point had that as the hilt. Anyway, moving on, Lupin the Third. All of the Lupin the Third is going to be on High Dive, which is interesting, because for a long time... it was this, you know, it was Discotech's thing, and obviously Discotech doesn't have streaming, but High Dive, and by extension Sentai Filmworks, got the recent series, and a bunch of people were really surprised by that. And so this is just adding on top of that. Now they have the entire anime on their service, and I think it was Vinny pointed out that the first series is also getting a dub now, and they started to put that on YouTube. I think it's, just the first episode?
I wouldn't go as far to say they're making a full dub of the series, but for the 50th anniversary, they did release.
Okay.
They did the first episode of the first series.
Do you know how long that is? It's got to be at least, 26, 30 episodes or something.
Oh, series one is weird. It's like 23 or 24 or something. It got canceled early on.
That's also an interesting case because it's... the company that owns it that's bankrolling the dub for all of these, not the localizers, to my understanding. It's TMS, I think, is who has Lupin.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to watch more Lupin. I saw, you know, whatever was on Adult Swim, and I just got the Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan film that I've been meaning to watch for a long time. But, I mostly bought that for the novelty of those two hanging out than, you know, liking either franchise.
Well, if you want to follow the story, you should watch the special first, because they did two of them.
Okay.
And they are, it's a continuation.
Got, so will I know what's going on if I just watch the movie?
You'll probably be fine.
Okay. I'm going to skip over the next one. We can do that one last. I wanted to just talk about the best sellers of the week. I thought that would be a fun reoccurring segment. So this next story is for Ruby Passion Tentacle on Twitter, and that is that more Pretty Cure is coming out. There's no official date, but it is called Delicious Party Precure. I guess it's the 19th entry, which is wild to me. I don't have anything else to say about that. I just wanted to give lip service to it. The biggest surprise story, this is one that I just saw last night on like a different blog, is that Hayao Miyazaki is coming out of retirement again.
So this is a story I have to interrupt and just say, it's weird that it's a story, because this is 100% true, everything that you're about to say, but he's been out of retirement for like the last year or two working on it.
Oh, has he?
It's been like 3 or 4 years you're working on
it. Yeah, so I don't know why all of a sudden everyone started reporting on it, because they did. It was in all of the major, like, this is a New York Times article that you linked.
Which I can't read, apparently.
This has been under production for a while.
I didn't know that.
For a while.
That would explain why it wasn't on Anime News Network or Anna Twitter for that.
Over Anna Twitter. This New York Times article is fascinating, because it's really an interview with him and Suzuki, but there is a last paragraph where they bring up that they're working on a new film.
I uh, I'm a terrible, terrible anime fan, and I've only seen two of his movies. I've seen Howl's and The Wind Rises, and I really, really didn't like The Wind Rises.
Oh, well, we're on opposite ends. That's top tier Hayao Miyazaki for me.
That's okay.
It's the most Miyazaki film. I don't know if it's his best.
I really liked the theory that the movie was about Miyazaki making anime popular and how he felt guilty. I don't know if that's true, but that's it made me enjoy the movie in retrospect. For those who are unfamiliar, it's about I don't remember his name, but a guy that made the plane that eventually Japanese soldiers used in World War II. What is it called? Like the
Zero.
The Zero. Was that the plane that was used for the kamikaze attacks?
Yeah. So it's about Jiro Horikoshi.
Not a great way to go. I'm afraid of flying in general. I would not want to fly a plane that's supposed to crash. So terrifying to meet a person that would want to do that. Oh my God, what are we doing? Anyway, so we've got about 10 minutes left.
Let me say a little bit more about the Miyazaki then, if we have 10 minutes.
Oh yeah.
I just wanted to say that I'm really happy. I don't know if anyone knows the history of Miyazaki, but basically he did Ponyo, and then he was thinking about what his last film would be. Big air quotes around last film. And for a while, he was very much like going, do I want to make The Wind Rises, which I think is a perfect last film, or he was going to make Ponyo 2.
Oh, my God.
I think he made a great decision. So when I heard that he was coming out of retirement, you know, that few years ago to make another film, I again got worried. I went, no, like you ended on the good note. Don't do Ponyo 2. And if you look at what his last film was set to be, it's very much him, like, you know, looking back on his life. And it's even the title is very much. It's do you remember I can't see the title of the movie, what it's supposed to be called. Do you know it?
I don't.
It is How Do You Live?
Nice. Yes.
How Do You Live? Yes. And it's an adaptation of a manga from the 30s. And it's, I think that his, according to what Wikipedia says, I don't even know if they know it, but like this might be like a character in real life who has the manga or that book. Like, and it's like a part of their life somehow. But this is not just him coming out to make some fluff. Mm-hmm. You know, this is him like wanting to go out on a high note. I mean, I don't know if this is going to be on the same level of A Wind Rises or for Takahata's The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, but I am very hopeful. He is the greatest living animator at this point. So,
isn't this supposed to be CG?
Oh, no. No. Is it?
No. I don't know if you're making a joke there, Vinny.
I thought at some point that this was supposed to be his like, figuring out how to use CG, and that's why it's taken him so long.
No, in fact, he was this is part of the stuff that's been coming out this week. He basically like doubled down on like, I will never make a CG feature. In fact, I believe this one, he goes like, the animator's tool is a pencil. This is him going back to like what he likes, and it's his son Goro Miyazaki who's trying to move the company. You know, whenever it is post Miyazaki, or at least post Hayao Miyazaki, he's the one who's trying to move the company in the CG direction. But Miyazaki, that's partially why it's taking so long. Suzuki, I think he, in the articles, he's saying that like, he's like, yeah, like I think it'll ultimately be like a 4 or 5 year production.
It's been a 4 or 5 year production already.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's going to be 4 or 5 more. I think he means in total. I think this is 3 years old, 3 or 4.
Jesus.
But it might be another 1 or 2 years.
Because it was announced after Your Name.
How long? Isn't that 4 years ago? Or is that 5?
That was probably 5 years ago now.
But I mean, I wonder how much of that was kind of like pre-production, like we're working on it, and then it took them a while to get everyone back in the studio. Because remember, like Ghibli was very much kind of like on closing down mode. And I think
they sold the desks out of this building.
No. So you know what I mean? So I think that maybe it took them a bit to get everyone back together, then probably a lot of people had moved on and they had to get new animators and get them. I mean, according to this, this is going to be, apparently they're like producing a minute of content, like over like, I don't know, like a week or a day or something. It's like so much that like this is going to take them just a long time at whatever level Miyazaki wants to do it at. And, you know, so
animating is hard.
I just hope he survives.
Right. How old is he?
He's 80? Quite old.
He's 80.
He turned 80 this year. Yeah.
Jesus.
He's not as old as Takahata was. I mean, Takahata was up there, right? Because he was his senior, Miyazaki's senior. So I think that if Takahata made it that far, but then again, Takahata isn't an animator, and Miyazaki is like the animator's animator, and is again, like, I think it's a miracle he's lived this long. Considering
Takahata's superpower was not animating,
right? I mean, he storyboards, but he's not an animator. Whereas, you know, Miyazaki is a chain smoker who probably lives off of ramen noodles.
Oh my God.
you know.
So anyway. We've got just over 5 minutes. I thought it would be fun on each episode. I don't know how often we're going to do these, but, you know, every once in a while to revisit the top 10 on Right Stuff. Just because I find it interesting to see what people are buying. And also to see just what types of people are patronizing this service. And if you look at the top 10, you can see that it's a very specific type of fan that is buying anime specifically from Right Stuff. If you look at the top 10 Blu-rays, you've got Lupin the Third Part 5 at number 10, Neon Genesis Evangelion at 9. That's not a surprise. It looks like that went down 6 spots. I didn't realize when I originally looked at this that they put how much things are dropping. That's cool. Fate Grand Order, the movie, is at number 8. And then we start to get more into the types of customers that are going to Write Stuff specifically. Super Dimension Century Orgus at number 7. Appleseed 1988 at 6. And then, what do you call it? A more popular mainstream title, Attack on Titan, the final, is at number 5. But then more old school titles from Discotech coming up. Number 4 is Urusei Yatsura, Only You. Number 3, also an Urusei Yatsura movie, Remember My Love. And then I think the only Sentai title, I'm pretty sure. Number 2 is Nana, which I was really surprised how into Nana people were when they announced that they got Nana and they were putting it on High Dive. People were losing their shit, and I was like, really, for Nana? I didn't think anybody watched Nana. The only thing I know about Nana is from, I think it's the very first episode of Anime World Order, Clarissa reviews the manga. But I never met anybody that actually watched the show. Anyway, number 1, Project Aiko Blu-ray, which is really cool. This is jam-packed with special features, and I believe it comes out in the end of December. So, should be really cool. But a lot of Discotech and a lot of old-school titles on here. And, let me see, I think DVD...
DVD's a wild place, because there hasn't been an anime DVD release in months.
Yeah. Sherlock Hound, Die Guard, Golden Boy is number 8. Lupin the Third Part 2 Collection 1 and 4 occupy slots. One Piece Collection 24 is on there. Devilman, Area 88, Giant Gorg, and hilariously, number 1 is Ghost Stories.
But it's mostly just like a discotheque fest.
It is mostly a discotheque fest. And then the manga section is almost completely dominated by Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm looking at it right now. Jujutsu Kaisen has 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and spot number 4. And then Chainsaw Man has spots 1, 2, and 3. Not surprising. They're both really, really popular on Twitter. Have either of you read Chainsaw Man or Jujutsu Kaisen?
No, but I
read Chainsaw Man on the app.
What, I need to look at these covers. Amazing.
It is there's certainly manga. I'll say that. I read all of Chainsaw Man and I'm going to watch the show, but I didn't really get it. And same thing with Jujutsu Kaisen. I didn't read that one, but I watched the anime. Just I was curious, like, what is this show that I keep hearing people talk about? And I don't know if I'm just getting old, because it's the same thing with Demon Slayer. Like, I don't get Demon Slayer. I've read all of it. I've watched all of it. Well, I haven't watched the new anime because it's just a recap of the movie so far, but it's something about these newer Shonen Jump titles just isn't doing it for me. Not enough Orange
Spy
Ninjas.
Spy Family's good is the one that I've heard people like.
Yeah, I've heard that that one's really good. That for a while was doing really well on the bestsellers list, but it might just be that people aren't buying it specifically from Right Stuff. Anyway, we've got just under 2 minutes. Is there anything that either of you wanted to promote?
No, I'm okay. Just thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's been a good time. Vinny, is there anything that you wanted to plug? Do you have any upcoming episodes?
We've got our Christmas stuff coming up soon. That'll be a mixture of we do Christmas movies and then we'll do our Anime Secret Santa podcasts. Nice. So both Diego and I watch a separate series, and we both watch both of them, and he ends up finding something that I've already watched anyway, so it's usually a nice time to revisit something.
I need to get on it and watch my Anime Secret Santa stuff. I think this time, I don't know, I think the last two I got 13 episode shows, so I just, it's always harder for me, because like, when you know you have to watch something, it's harder to make yourself do it. But I got really good recommendations, so I just have to figure out which one of them I want to do. I might do Mushishi, I think was one of them.
Do Mushishi.
I've been meaning to watch all of Mushishi for a long time. And that got a new show too.
Yes, it did. Yeah. It's incredible.
Well, thank you both of you for coming on here. This has been great. I would love to have you on again. I know Kyle, you may be coming on again, and I know Vinny potentially. I know you tagged a couple dates, but you know, we'll see as we get closer. I'll confirm with you guys.
That's when I'm available if you want me back.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, this has been the Newsbroom on gonzo.moe. The Newsbroom also airs every day on WJMOE Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern. New episode every Monday. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, Spirits Within 4K. Bye.